And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. The first one, not lacking. Not lacking. Plus, we're going to examine what it means to be limitless. Wow, what is that? Dr. Meg Meeker joins us to talk about her new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Child Needs. And then we're going to close it out with the DDD called Not Too Pushy.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Well, I got to be careful there. Giving out too much information these days seems like it could be dangerous, although it is true. I do like corned beef sandwiches. Spiritual observations. Huh. That takes faith. And life insanities. I have a dog. I get it. And, oh, no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Stand by.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the steps you can take to get a Bible club up and running in your school.
You need to make sure that your school officials are abiding with the law. And that means if these groups, you know, and they could be sponsored by a church, your church could be a part of chartering a Good News Club in your community. You know, a Good News Club has all the details that you need in terms of how to do this legally and appropriately. And you go and you meet with the school officials and say that you would like to make this available to the students after school hours. And if they allow any other group, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, or be Cub Scouts, or any other group that would meet in the school and be able to interact with the students, they have to let the Good News Clubs in.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The La Jolla Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir and a professional orchestra present Arthur Honegger's King David, happening this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m. This unique and creative work, including soloists, narration, dance, and media, vividly retelling in word, song, and music the life of King David. Delightfully varied musical styles, from classical to jazz, and from Broadway to Gregorian chant, Honegger brings to life the highs and lows which David experienced, from the victory over Goliath to the death of David's sons. No tickets are required for this free event. Call 858-729-5511 for more information. A reception will follow the concert in Fellowship Hall this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m. La Jolla Presbyterian Church is located at 7715 Draper Avenue in La Jolla.
Russell Wilson here. We Play 60, United Way, and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids!
To get involved, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Donate!
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course!
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to remind you about Cross International. I had a chance to interact with Tom Lewis, Tom and Bob Lewis. Just a reminder, $39 will feed a child for an entire year. You just go to KPRZ.com. KPRZ.com. That's the place you go. And you can give directly online, or you can call 866-843-9500, 866-843-9500. No better givers than San Diego. San Diego is just phenomenal. I'm just so, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I think this is like my 40th time doing it. It's just like one of the best ever. So I'm really blessed. Just want to thank everybody for participating. Do not forget, please, please, please do not forget that if you want to reach us, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We also have a Facebook page which does absolutely nothing for anybody anywhere unless I post pictures. I'm not sure what that is. But unless we post pictures, what was that? Was that just like a push
button? My elbow.
Oh, it was your elbow? Your elbow has a whole musical instrument behind it?
Yup.
Wow. They don't just call you Tugboat Todd for nothing, do they? Anyway, unless I post a picture of my grandson or my sons or my daughter or my wife or a turkey that's floating in a tub, it's not much. It's not a lot of interesting stuff, except if my dog does something, you know, because I probably posted more pictures about my dog than anything else. Yeah, what do you want? So, other than that, you can check out hisappointment.com or you can not check out hisappointment.com. Either way, it'll work for you. And we're going to get into our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. That's when I'm reading something and, you know, it goes, ooh, look at that. And then I think, you know, I think I can apply this a little differently. And then I try and share it the best that I can. This one's entitled Not Lacking. Do we have a sound for this? We do. What do we have?
He's good and plenty candy to make the train run.
Love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
Yay! Love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings a bell. Ding! Okay, sorry. Don't tell me, you older people who are in your 50s and older, don't tell me you don't remember that. I know you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6. Here come the texts, verses 6 through 8. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. I have run into a number of Christians, and I'm going to go out on a limb just for a little bit, so bear with me in my folly for a second. There's a lot of Christians that have talked to people, and as you know, I have a Baptist background and a Pentecostal background, and I see people on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, I guess. There's both sides of those denominations, and there's quite a few people that are in between. They are the people that believe that everything that they need, they have, but they're certainly not accessing everything. And that's what I want to talk about. There's a notion that we as Christians are lacking in certain spiritual gifts. Some people will communicate that to you. What? You don't speak in tongues? Why, you're useless. That's what you'll hear that from a certain element in Christian faith. You will. Then you'll hear this other, and then there's the people that do speak in tongues that don't take that position. They believe that, look, if you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it, but, you know, God bless you, I love you, so on and so forth. Then you have the other side of that spectrum, other side of that coin, and those are the people that think, you know, Holy Spirit, the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, which, of course, if you've ever read the Word of God, that would be probably up there at the dumbest level of things spoken. And most people would agree that walking with the Holy Spirit or walking by the leading of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14, is something that you grow into, that is a process of development as you grow closer and closer to the Lord. Is it true that Jesus didn't have to go through that process? I suppose that would be true, except he did spend 30 years in a relationship with the Father, and you get the sense that maybe that was a relationship which was cultivated between the Son, the Spirit, and the Father in that whole process. But here's what I am going to say that's going to go to the absolute, I'll go to the absolute mat on. When you receive the testimony regarding Jesus Christ, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, according to Colossians chapter 2, when you acknowledged God's testimony, received, Greek word also, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you didn't get part of God. I'm not sure that theology is sustainable. I have had those arguments in you know, universities, and it's just, I just am not buying into you get Jesus, but you didn't really get all of God. There's, you know, that's not something I'll put forth. I think in Jesus Christ, you get everything you need. I think this is a great passage to testify, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. You don't lack in any spiritual anything when you have Jesus Christ in your life. However, that being said, and I will go to the mat saying it, that does not mean that you are fully open to everything that God wants to do in your life, fully aware, fully sensitive to walking with the Holy Spirit, or fully acknowledging that 2 Corinthians 13:14 specifically says that you're supposed to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16 and 17, and actually John chapter 14, say that the Holy Spirit is your counselor. And I always ask people how your counseling session's going, and then they look at me funny. And it's this process that bothers me. I think you get the whole package when you get Jesus and say yes to God. I just don't think you open up the whole package. I think you get it, but you don't use it all. And maybe that some people use more of it earlier than other people. Who cares? I mean, it's like that part doesn't matter. But what's important to understand is that, you know, the Holy Spirit comes with self. It's not like the Holy Spirit's like, well, I'm a separate purchase. You said yes to Jesus, but, you know, I'm over here. And you know that's impossible, because regeneration is part of the salvation process, and regeneration must be by the Holy Spirit, as Titus chapter 3 makes clear. But that doesn't mean that we're always responsive to the Holy Spirit. Because when I first got saved, I'm just being honest, when I first got saved, I said yes to Jesus and spent the next 2 months getting high just as much as I did prior to saying yes to Jesus. And the reason that I bring that up is not for a boasting purpose. It's for you to understand that in those 2 months when I thought nothing was going on, God was preparing me for more. I didn't see what was going on. That didn't mean something wasn't going on. And then as you start stepping into a little bit more maturity, though I probably lack there, but a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more willingness, then you start to understand that there's more that God wants to do in your life and through your life, and you become more astute and more in tune with what's going on in the kingdom of God. I do like the package theory. Sorry, I like it. When you get a package and you open it up, and you, let's say, we get packages from Noel's parents for Christmas, they send a box. Yeah, you get, these are the cool, and they get a bunch of little, you know, presents. Now, they're not expensive presents, but they're nice. And your first layer is certain things like a coffee pass or some cocoa, some hot chocolate, some like exotic hot chocolate stuff. And then you lift that one up, you get to the next one, and then there's like calendars and different things. Then you pull that one up, and then there's, you know, it's a little better present, a little bit of meat, a little bit of food, a little bit of this. Pull up the next one, there's like something cooler, like a family portrait and so on and so forth. But it's like every time you go digging in the package, there's more that comes up and there's more that comes up. That's what I see is happening in the Lord. You open up the package. Yay, I got the package. Yay. And then you start pulling out the gifts and the different things. And as you see what's in there, then you start going a little deeper and a little deeper. The only difference in God's kingdom is that it doesn't end.
It's like Christmas every day. That's what it's like. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. You got it all when you got Jesus, but don't try and tell me you're using it all. Or if you're using it all, then why does God have to instruct you and teach you? Uh-oh. Bazinga. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Ready for a night of fun and laughter? San Diego Christian College and One-Eyed Possum Production presents Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live, a one-night-only event, Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. Enjoy clean, family-friendly comedy featuring Taylor Tomlinson, the finalist in Last Comic Standing, and a special guest appearance from Comedy Central. Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live will be held at San Diego Christian College in Santee and emceed by Josh Lawson. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now, starting at $25. Seating is limited. San Diego Christian College is offering a special discount to alumni and students. 100% of the proceeds from Charity is Fun Comedy Night will go towards San Diego Christian College student scholarships. Don't miss Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live at San Diego Christian College in Santee. For all the details and to purchase tickets, visit sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
We were doing all the right things.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and today Jill Savage recalls how she thought things were fine in her marriage.
We knew each other's love languages. We were going on date nights. We were taking time away for just the two of us. We were doing all the right things. And yet infidelity became a part of our story. And what we realized is it wasn't the big things that were robbing us of intimacy. It was the little things, the things that were under the surface, things that were untapped, things that were untalked about. And those were pulling our hearts away from each other 1 centimeter at a time.
Wow.
So you don't see that. You don't feel that. But 1 centimeter becomes 2. And 2 becomes 3.
It may be that you're experiencing a little bit of distance or a lot in your marriage. Hear more from Jill and her husband at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Extra props to my brother. It is his birthday. It was, I think I put on his Facebook post, happy 39th birthday and the 21-year anniversaries you've had after that one. That's right. I thought it was funny. All right. We've got a couple things going on. We're getting ready to do a DDD called Limitless. There's one thing I would like. I would like to do a kind of a secondary backup to the What's Bugging Me without the music. I want to give one more What's Bugging Me shout out. What's Bugging Me right now are people that send me emails at the station while I'm live on the show while they know I'm doing a show. That is just, you know.
You don't have to read your emails during the show.
Well, what if it's somebody during the show who wants to write an email because of the show? See, I give them my email address. I read all those, you know. You know what burns my knees about a grass fire about a foot and a half high? Okay. You like that? Come on. Just in a few moments, we're going to have Dr. Meg Meeker on. Now, I will warn you, so I'm forewarning you, that she was supposed to be on, then she got a delayed flight. The flight got delayed, and then they tried to rearrange it, like, while she was in the air, and I don't know if she caught another flight. She did something just to be on the show, but it is possible that that flight then got delayed, so we're assuming that we'll be able to make contact with her and have her on at 3:30. She got another book. She did a great, great job last time. She got a new book called Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. We're going to get into that with her in just a little bit. I'm looking forward to that. And then we'll close it out with something called Not Pushy. Not Pushy, something I don't understand very well. Let's go, though, now into, I believe we're going to do Limitless. Do we have a sound for Limitless? We no sound for Limitless. It has flown away. There it goes. Bye. For people that think that I might be upset when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and the engagement with Jesus, I'm not upset at all. Zero. I just think that people, instead of being exceedingly dogmatic, I think the balance of things is really the more wisdom of things, which is why I'm a Baptist. This is pretty much why that is, because I've had things where it's like, look, never in any other scripture is the line, period. Scripture is the line. But the line has interesting elements to it, which I think are cool, that give room for us to understand, which is why the scripture says in Isaiah 6, it says, is it 6? I think it's 6 or it's 8, one of the two. It says, to the law and to the testimony, they work together. The law and the testimony work together. It's just the way life is. Let's do Limitless. 1 Samuel 14:6. 1 Samuel 14:6. This is what it says. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. Come, let us cross over to the other, over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. Couple things. I think most people know the story. This is Jonathan. He is the son of Saul, great friend of David. He's with his armor bearer, and there's several uncircumcised people of the Philistines that are fighting them on a cliff, kind of like on a upward wedge. And he turns to his armor bearer and says, you know what? We're going to go up there because perhaps the Lord will help us. Now, I like his attitude in this alone. A lot of people will look at something and say, unless God gives me a sign like Skittles from heaven, I'm not going to take a step forward. Here's a guy that's like, well, the Lord might do it. The Lord might not do it. I'm going to give it a roll. And he tried. And I happen to be a person that loves to see in the Bible people that spell faith, R-I-S-K. People that spell faith, R-I-S-K, understand. Because sometimes you got to just go up on the mountain and see what happens. Sometimes you got to put your foot over the boat and see what happens. But what he does do is he defines what it is he's basing that on. He's not basing the possible victory on him. He's not basing this on him and his armor bearer. He's basing this on the Lord. He goes, well, perhaps the Lord will work for us. I love the humility, the willingness to risk, but look at the humility. Maybe he'll work for it. Maybe this will work out. Maybe we'll get success. I admire people that have that ability to always state that success and truly believe it. But in this case, he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to try. I like trying. You don't know. And I find it ridiculous that people in the world will use things like, well, you know, the definition of insanity is to try something over and over again expecting different results. Well, don't exercise and don't diet and don't quit smoking. I mean, that's how stupid that is. And by the way, that's not the definition of insanity. It never has been. It never will be. But if you can get people off of cable TV and stop thinking that those people that speak know what they're talking about, you'd be okay. And then he says this, the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. And that's the key. God is limitless. You have a limit. You know what you've got? You've got a day of birth and a day of death. You are going to be resurrected, but it'll all be based on what God is doing, not what you say. And God has no God is not restrained. He can save by a multitude, and he has done that. And he can save by very few. He's done that. No doubt Samuel thought of Gideon saving by few, 300 that was, against thousands upon thousands. But the Lord is not restrained by three things that we restrain ourselves by. And this is what Tugboat said. These are the three things I want you to write. The Lord is not restrained by logic. It doesn't have to make sense for God to do it. It doesn't matter. See, that's one of those great things. God spoke and the world came to existence. Well, Plato said, well, no, it was pre-existent matter. Matter cannot be pre-existent. It either exists or it doesn't. That's impossible. That's an oxymoron. So God doesn't use the logic of humanity because the humanity logic falls. It does not hold up. And then God will simply ask this question to you and I. Well, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I wasn't there. Well, then be quiet. I mean, that's what he's saying. Number two, the Lord is not restrained by numbers. It doesn't take God 2 billion people to spread the gospel. Do you know what it took 2,000 years ago? Well, it started with one, and then it took 12, and then by the end of Acts, it was 120. Or by the beginning of Acts, it was 120. Acts chapter 1, there were 120 people in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. That then changed the world. God, it doesn't matter. He's not bound by that. And here's something else that the Lord is not restrained by, that you and I are deeply restrained by when we don't walk by faith, and that's human resources. Do you know when God answers a prayer, it's a miracle. And there have been people that have been prayed for that have been sick on death's door that they recover. And the doctor goes, how'd they recover? I can't believe it. There's no way it can happen. Well, God is not bound by human resource. And you have people, again, on cable or other places say, well, that can't happen. Yeah, except even our own medical people will tell you when people pray, greater things happen. Well, I got it. God is not restrained by logic, by numbers, by human resource. So don't do anything to put a limit on the Lord. Trust he can do all things he can. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 20 years, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Religion comes in many forms. Almost every conceivable belief or behavior has been incorporated into some religious system at some point in time. But essentially, there are only two religions in the world, human achievement, and divine accomplishment. The religion of human achievement says you can please God by your own merits and earn your salvation. The religion of divine accomplishment says you must trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That's the way of the cross, the narrow way, the only way. You can't earn your way to heaven because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. You must simply trust in Him and rejoice in His provision. This is John MacArthur praying you are continuing to be portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Years to understand. The leader of the band is tired and his eyes are growing old. But his blood runs through my instrument and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. It was approximately 1 year ago, not quite, but on June 10th, that our guest was on the show the last time. That's how good our record keeping is around here. And our guest, Dr. Meg Meeker, she came in with a book, very powerful. We had this opportunity to talk about this book that she created that had to do with fatherhood. And back then that was Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. She is back with another book, even more intense and more powerful. This one, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. Dr. Meg, are you there with us?
I am here. Thank you so much. I am impressed with your record keeping.
Yeah, it is. It was a privilege to have you on last time, a privilege this time, which is kind of why we played that leader of the band kind of song.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Is that great or what? I got to tell you a little story.
Yeah.
I actually, the first time I heard that story was 3 days after my dad's funeral. And it was like, uh-oh. It was a ball fest. Mm-hmm. I was crying for hours and hours. Talk to me about your new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. What is this book about, Dr. Meg?
Well, you know, as a pediatrician, I've listened to thousands of kids over the years. And what I'm doing in Hero is trying to give fathers a glimpse of who they are from their kids' perspective, behind their kids' eyes. Because we've got a problem with fathers in America. You know, and what it's doing is harming our kids. So I wanted to do something very constructive and positive and talk to dads about who they already are in the kids' eyes, and they already are a hero. It's not about being and changing, but it really is about being the hero your kids think you are and want you to be, and any dad can do it.
So this is one of the things that came out is this is the end of this dad shaming concept that's been going around in the media and in certain Hollywood aspects, trying to just put down any favorability that a father might have on a child. Is this challenging that?
Yes, absolutely. And my goal with Hero, you know, it really has been sort of brewing in me for a number of years. But my goal with Hero is to hopefully spark a national conversation about the extreme importance of dads in kids' lives. You know, those of us, when we were all children once, and we know what we wanted from our dads and from our moms, and we wanted different things from each one. And whether we got them or whether we didn't, we still know that kid-like hunger for dad, am I doing okay? Do you like me? Do you see what you see? You know, do you like what you see? And so I'm really trying to be a voice for kids to say, kids need you, dads, and here's how you can get some long overdue encouragement.
Is there a connection with how dads are not stepping up as much in society today, connected to how their dads treated them? It seems to me like you know, my dad was pretty distant, and I actually made a conscious decision as a father and now as a grandfather to really be active and committed to my kids. And so I kind of took an opposite track, but I also see some you know, parents, some dads stepping back because they don't know how to dad. They don't know how to do it the way they're supposed to.
Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. I work with a number of men in the NFL on their parenting for the specific reason that many of them didn't have dads or good role models growing up, and they desperately want to know how to parent their kids. And I say, you know, it really is it's simple, but it's very hard. You just got to focus on getting the big things right. But you're right. There are a lot of wounds that kids going into adulthood carry when they become fathers from their father relationships, if there's any brokenness in there. And it's very important for men to understand, A, how badly that hurt them, and try to work that through, and then not carry it into their role as dads. And any man can do it, but we need to really show men how and encourage them, because you're absolutely right. The cycle just repeats itself. Unless you say, no more, I want a better life, and I want a better life with my kids.
Why is there, and I guess I'm asking more in a generic sense, but why is there a reservation for dads to do that? Does it have to do with responsibility, like assuming responsibility, or is there a fear connected? You know, it's like why do dads pull back versus that more natural sense of, you know, nurturing?
Yeah. I don't think that they're worried about responsibility, because men are very strong characters. You know, I have seen CEOs of companies, these NFL players win in Super Bowls and do extraordinarily successful things. So they know they can succeed. But when it comes to parenting, even the smartest, great guys have, well, I can run my company, but I don't know what to do with these kids. And our culture says you really don't know what to do with your kids, and you're kind of stupid anyway, and they see that on TV. And then many are married to very strong-willed women like myself, who have been trained over the years to say, you know, when it comes to kids, we got this, thanks. So dads don't know what to do but sort of orbit in the home. So I really believe it's a matter of not understanding how huge they are in their kids' life, and not and being afraid to act on their instincts, because so many great dads are afraid to act on their instincts because they don't want to do the wrong thing. And, you know, often their wives will get upset. They'll say, you know, typical scenario, a dad has a 14-year-old daughter who's going out to school and dressed in clothes he doesn't like. And he says, I don't really want you to go to school in those clothes. And mom rushes up and says, no, you don't understand how girls dress these days. And dad goes, well, okay, you know, you must be right, I must be wrong. So it's kind of like a perfect storm. But what I do know is men are wired with everything they need to do a great job with their kids. They've got it. And from a kid's perspective, today, for any dads out there listening to me, you are in some ways your kid's hero. So it's not something you have to earn. You just have to step into the shoes and get the big stuff right.
Excellent. That was really, really good. Well said. So in society, you can tell, like we mentioned earlier, from the media point of view, from the Hollywood point of view, there's a tremendous knock on dads, which, you know, you can say, well, it's societal, it's the ills within society and the dysfunctionalism that is in society. Or you can even look at it from a spiritual point of view and say this is a breakage of the family. Why do you think that, from that Hollywood point of view, that media point of view, that there is such a dad shaming? Like, even if a dad steps up, they think, oh, he's just an, you know, an arrogant male. I mean, like, what does that come from? Where does that source out?
Yeah, it really, you know, it's interesting because I went to an all-women's college in the 1970s, and I've seen the rise of this, and it's really like a perfect storm. First, you've got the rise of feminism, which taught women, you can do everything, you can do everything. You can work 60 hours a week, you can take great care of kids, you can earn as much money as you want, you can. And so whenever a revolution is fought, there are casualties, and the casualties are fathers, because women began to communicate to men, out of the way, out of the way, out of the way. In addition to that, you've got a culture that's also teaching that autonomy is the good way to live. None of this interdependence. You know, moms don't need dads, dads don't need moms, kids don't need parents. They just need love and life will be good. Well, that's not true. You know, it's just not true. And then the third leg of the stool is that along the way when, you know, when all the focus on women was rising and rising and intensifying, marketers of various goods, sitcoms, movies, you know, all shampoo, whatever, realized that there was money to be made by making fun of dads because it was going to get attention. And also they were going to win with women, who are large consumers of a lot of what they have to sell. Because if you make dads look bad, the converse is, well, I guess you make mothers look better. So it all kind of came together to land on the shoulders of fathers, and we need to shift the tide 180 degrees because kids are suffering terribly.
Yeah, that was another excellent. Boy, you are just on top of it. That was another excellent answer. So I want to close it with this last question because, you know, they don't really talk about, they talk about the, that you mentioned the casualty or the unintended consequences being the dad being pushed aside. But then again, the moms are having an unintended consequence of destroying their children, but they don't see mm-hmm. that yet because they're only looking yeah. in the here and now and not in the 20 years from now. So here's my last question, which is a little loaded, so just bear with me. But how come in all of this declaration of independence for women that there's the blatant contradiction of a still high dependency on government? It's like, I don't get, well, we're all independent, except we need this, except we need this, except we need this.
Exactly. Well, I think that in the women who are feeling sort of powerful, if you will, there won't be that necessarily that dependence on government. But women have also been taught you have this right and you have this right and you have that right. And if you can't accomplish it on your own, find somebody to give it to you, and that's where the government comes in. So it is a loaded question, but it's all about serving the needs of moms to either succeed in what they want to do, or at least give them stuff they believe they have a right to have. And this isn't a slight on women. This is just where we've landed because there's been a cultivated training, a very meticulous training going on out there in the culture, feeding this into women. And we all lose. We all lose. When we say a mom doesn't need a dad doesn't need a mom to help raise the kids, and kids don't really need a mom, and kids don't need a dad, it all just implodes on itself, and none of the arguments hold up.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent job. Just fantastic, Dr. May. I really appreciate it. I do want people to know you can get this, of course, on Amazon. It's also on an Audible book, so if you guys want to do Audible, I've been into Audible lately because I travel on the 5 freeway and you don't really have much of a choice. But I really appreciate you taking the time, spending it with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get this book. You really, I mean, a father needs to know what this book is containing, and that is you are a hero. You just need to step into that role. What a great gift for a dad. What a great opportunity from a wife to a husband to share that as well. Hero, Becoming the Strong Father Your Children Need by Dr. Meg Meeker. Doc, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Have a lovely evening.
Okay, you too. Ladies and gentlemen, great, great interview. Really appreciate that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You got to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
The La Jolla Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir and a professional orchestra present Arthur Honegger's King David, happening this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m.
Oh,
This unique and creative work, including soloists, narration, dance, and media, vividly retelling in word, song, and music the life of King David. Delightfully varied musical styles, from classical to jazz, and from Broadway to Gregorian chant, Honegger brings to life the highs and lows which David experienced, from the victory over Goliath to the death of David's sons. No tickets are required for this free event. Call 858-729-5511 for more information. A reception will follow the concert in Fellowship Hall this Sunday, May 21st at 4 p.m. La Jolla Presbyterian Church is located at 7715 Draper Avenue in La Jolla.
Faithfulness to God inspires others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Jennifer Benson Schultz. Jennifer writes, "When I visited a museum in Chicago, I saw one of the original striding lions of Babylon. It was a large mural-type image of a winged lion with a ferocious expression. Symbolizing Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess of love and war, the lion was an example of 120 similar lions that would have lined a Babylonian pathway during the years of 604 to 562 BC. Historians say that after the Babylonians defeated Jerusalem, the Hebrew captives would have seen these lions during their time in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Historians also say it's likely that some of the Israelites would have believed Ishtar had defeated the God of Israel." Jennifer continues, "Daniel, one of the Hebrew captives, did not share the doubts that might have troubled some of his fellow Israelites. His view of God and his commitment to God stayed steady. He prayed three times a day, with his windows open, even when he knew it would mean entering a den of lions. After God rescued Daniel from the hungry animals, King Darius said, 'Daniel's God is the living God, and he endures forever. He rescues and he saves.' Daniel's faithfulness allowed him to influence Babylonian leaders. Staying faithful to God despite pressure and discouragement can inspire other people to give him glory. You can help us spread the good news to those who need it. Share Our Daily Bread with your friends and family on Facebook and Twitter. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Big shout out to Dr. Meg Meeker for joining us, rearranging her flight just so she can do the interview. We greatly appreciate that. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening. We're going to be having a special guest on tomorrow for a concert that is taking place on Sunday. Let's see. Today's the 17th, so I think Sunday would be the last time I checked. Yes, the 21st. We have a special guest in studio. Plus, we're going to be doing a pretty interesting teaching the second hour on the process of Christianity. Ooh. Speaking of which, let's get into our DDD. You heard that music. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door and let them in. Not pushy is the title. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. We're going to go backwards from what we talked about a little bit earlier. Listen to this. It's pretty simple, but it's profound if you just relax. As Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. Now, I know you're thinking, that is not a lot there. You just talked about that story. You talked about X-ray vision. How is this connecting? I just want to point something out to you. There are times in your life, and if you're not aware of this, I'm hoping you will become aware of this. There are times in your life where the Lord will storm in. Can I use that expression? Do you mind if I use that expression? He will storm in. The Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, was known as Saul. Saul was on his way to Tarsus, and as he was en route, you know, what happened? What happened? He got knocked down off the donkey. He fell off his donkey. And as he's on the ground, God goes, hey, I want you to do something. There was not a lot of argument, right? Actually, he was on his way to Damascus. Sorry. It was Saul of Tarsus. I knew I'd messed that up. Forgive me. But my point is, sometimes God intrudes heavily. Sometimes the Lord doesn't intrude at all. There are some things in our life that he comes in and he kind of hits you with a 2x4 and says, hey, you got to do this better. And some things the Lord does are more subtle. And so the reason that I brought this up is that this gentleman invited Jesus in and Jesus went. And Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, knocks on the door and says, if you open the door, then I'll come in. Some of us don't do enough opening of the door. We talked about this yesterday. I'm trying to point out something that the Lord, he's not pushy. There is a gentleness that comes from God. I think that many of us have this image where God is just this massive taskmaster with a whip or with a hammer. And that is a picture, but not the picture. There are times when the Lord lays it down and the holiness requires immediate response and the Lord calls for it. There's other times where the Lord feels for his own creation. And the Lord's not always going to push you on an issue. He's going to show you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. But one thing you have to understand, that the wisdom from above is first gentle and peaceful. Not everything in the kingdom of God is rough, rough, rough. It's like, calm down, okay? You're not a Boston Terrier dog. Relax. And sometimes the Lord comes and says, look at this. He doesn't have to yell at you. Just look. And we are so, I don't know, maybe we have parents that were so prone to got to yell it out, got to force it. We've got to be aware that the parenting of God is perfect. And there is a time where the Lord is gentle with you, but that's going to require you and me to be sensitive to that gentleness. The Lord is not always pushy. I'm pushy, right? Ask Tugboat Todd. There's not a lot of things he'll agree with as much as that. And I'm irritated, but God is not like that all the time. There are times when, watch this, when you're hurting and you know that by the Lord's comforting presence that you're okay. Well, that's not pushy. That's gentle. And there are times to be gentle. There's times for forcefulness and there's times for gentleness. That requires us being sensitive and aware that God is communicating with us. Not everything, as Elijah showed us, is coming through an earthquake or a storm. Sometimes it's a gentle, still, small voice that you can only hear if you listen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.